scheduled for our teaching today, and it is partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. And this, of course, is one of the most profound statements that can be found in the Word of God, the Bible. And we're going to look at this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. So the profound statement, of course, there is to be found in verse 4, that we have escaped the corruptions, born again, and we are partakers of the divine nature. What a statement, eh? It's absolutely profound. But there are times that we don't always feel that we have this new nature, or there are times when we just wonder what is happening in our walk, in our life, our circumstances, but the Word of God declares it. And so we believe it, because that is our faith. We believe what God says about us. Whatever we feel, whatever the circumstances, whatever we go through, it is what God has decreed. These are the promises of God that we partake of. And as we read these scriptures, as we read these promises, they are also our lives, our experience. It is what God says about you and I. This is why the Word of God is so important in our lives, that we put our ears to the Word of God, that we are exhorted and taught in the Word of God, because it helps us to be able to look away from the lie of this world, from the spirit of this age that says contrary to us. And not only that, of course, but we have the world out there, those who accuse the saints, those who laugh and jeer at us, that think we are deluded and so on. But we know what we believe, because it's being confirmed to us. It's becoming more and more reality, our experience. And that is why this is so profound. You see, the prosperity teachers will say amen to what we read there in those few verses, and they may even underline them in their Bibles until you go on to teach that it's appropriated by faith and by obedience. Because that is what helps us to overcome in this age that we live. And don't we need what we have learnt and experienced right now with what is happening in the world, where we are seeing a global catastrophe never seen in our generation? Yet has it taken us by surprise? Has it caused us to doubt our faith? Not at all, because the Holy Spirit has been warning us for years and years and years that this is what we are going to face. And they are going to see that we are not put off, that we are not sidetracked, that we are not driven by fear and confusion like the world is. Because we have the divine nature. We are part of God's divine nature. He's a part of us and we are a part of him. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so, sadly, even those in a lot of churches, those who confess Christ as their Saviour, because they are driven by confusion and unbelief, they go and look for different churches, for different preachers who will preach what they want them to hear. And we know that that is exactly how the Antichrist is going to come. And he's going to say and give the world what they want to hear. And we can see with what is happening now globally, we can see the stage is being set for the Antichrist to soon to come. And they'll be saying when they begin to hear him, thank goodness we've got someone who speaks some sense, someone who can promise us a future and a life and give us what we want. Can you not see how the stage is being set and prepared? But God has opened your eyes to all of this. Why? Because you are partakers of the divine nature. And that is why you get a lot of these teachers that misapply the scriptures, change the scriptures, water it down. But you don't have that. And I dare not do that. Because the ministry, the prophets, have to sound the trumpet. And so we stand by faith and not by sight. And so, being partakers of God's divine nature, we also need to recognize and experience God's provision. How and when he does it. Now, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know next week or 2 months' time. But God will provide whatever is going on. He will provide through these times and through these lean times. We know this because we see it in Scripture. We see how God preserved Israel and met her needs. What does it say in verse 14 of the same chapter? Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of the things after my decease. So the Apostle Paul knows where he's going, what his future is, but he's left provision to remind. And we have the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus has given to remind us, to prompt us, to encourage us that we have nothing to fear because we are partakers of the divine nature. The Apostle Paul knew he was a partaker of the divine nature and he knew his ministry, his life was coming to an end shortly. He had done what God had wanted him to do. Look how close he walked with God. Look how he was experiencing the oneness with God, the sharing of the divine nature. And that is to be your experience and my experience. It's interesting that partakers, or the idea of partaking, means to take part in. And this is where we get this Greek word kenonio, or the kenosis experience, where it's Christ in you, that we decrease, that he increases. This is where we get this word from. It means that he has become a part of us and we are a part of him. God's nature in us enables us to partake of his nature, not only in that nature, but also in the promises. So we not only are partakers of God, his nature, one with him, but all what he has promised. You partake of Almighty God. That is profound. And really, in many ways, when we read the scriptures, we study the scriptures, we teach them, we confess them, we make them part of our life, our prayers, our faith. What is that? What is it you're doing? You are partaking what is of God. Because we know Jesus divested himself and became the living word, the word of God to us. And so as Peter speaks about here, being partakers of his nature, of his promises, and so on, it means we partake of what he has promised. And God promised them to us. This is why we hold to healing, deliverance, salvation, to the whole man. It is all there for us, that we can partake of. But that nature, that new nature, God's nature that we partake of, has to be now worked into us. And what is it? Yes, by the cross, that we daily take up. In many ways, we are producing Calvary each day. We're taking on God's ways, God's habits, God's thoughts, his thinking, everything that he is, we partake of it also as well in this life. Now, this partaking has several meanings to it. It means that we have companion. We are comrades, we have a partnership, we have a sharing. Same idea, of course, in marriage, or two people who open up a business, they both share in it, they work together in it. And that's what we do. So every day, when you walk with the Lord, you share and you partake in that walk together. You agree together. You move together. That's what it means. And that is achieved and done through a prayer life, through waiting on God, allowing the Holy Spirit to move, listening to what God has to say. That is why when we have these promises, these promises in the Word of God are for you to take before God, to talk out, to speak, to pray about, to share, to talk about. You may find that some of these promises are still difficult for you to understand or embrace or believe. Then what do? When you share with someone, when you are with someone, you talk about it. This is why so many marriages today are breaking up, because couples don't communicate. They don't give themselves time to talk, to share. That's certainly a man's problem. So it's how much more with Almighty God? There are some promises here that we know we're not really believing as we should be. We know it's one thing to confess it, it's another thing to live it and apply it. Then what do you do with these promises? You talk, you share, you bring it out in the light, you tell him. Maybe there's some of these promises, some of the things that God requires of us, you don't want to do. You don't like it. It's not what I want. What do? You share. You talk with him. You ask for that help. We know that the word of God is challenging. We know that nobody can keep it in themselves. It takes the grace and mercy and love of God to work it within our lives and hearts. Because when we partake of God's nature, we partake of his word, his promises. They become a part of us. They become a part of our life. We can say, can't we, confidently, oh, that by his stripes we were healed at Calvary. I am the Lord that healeth thee. But have you ever talked that out with God? Have you ever considered that you are one with him where your healing is concerned? Because there isn't sickness in him. I have had to come clean over the years with God. Lord, I'm not in that place of faith for healing as I should be. And I want to know what is the problem. I want to know what hinders this. I want to know what I'm not seeing. Because I share, I partake with you. I am one with you. You are one with me. We can't be separated in this. The problem doesn't lie in you. The problem lies in me. And you know, when you start to seek God in that way, you will find healing will start to flow. And do you know, when you seek God and he begins to unravel and reveal these promises as they become a part of your life, You can see where you've missed it, where you didn't understand it. You thought you knew it. You were confessing. You were making all the right sounds. But that doesn't impress God. What impresses God, what he wants of us, is to know that we partake of him and he does of us. Jesus clearly revealed he walked by that principle, because as I've said many times, he said, I do only that which is revealed to me. In other words, what he was saying, I do only that which I know my Father and I do, because we are one and nothing can separate us. This is where the greater works will come, brothers and sisters. And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. And I'm going to tell you something. This, what's going on now, this coronavirus and what is happening in the world, this is tailor-made for us. And I pray for the world that God has mercy on them. Because people are asking questions, and we will see a harvest of souls come out of this. But for us, who are maturing as the sons of God, this is tailor-made for us. Let's learn. Let's experience that we are one with him. And we walk in complete harmony and agreement. Because that is what it is. That is the only way this will work. And that is why his nature, this nature has to be worked in us. He's doing this right now as we listen. He's working the reality of his nature in you and I. We already have his nature, it's just that we're not experiencing him as we should be. And he's going to remove hindrances that stop that if we let him. Well, let's look at some areas then with regard to this. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us God's provisions. And in order to experience these provisions, it often needs and takes deliverance. Trials, testings, delays, they are part of the deliverance, the removal, so that we can experience we are one with the divine nature. So whatever you're going through, whatever your experience, or whatever it is, in nature, your trial is deliverance. Thank God that he doesn't just leave us suspended, or just in a trial, or just to make it out the other end. We triumphantly come through these trials because we experience more of God. That he can reveal himself through you and I to this dying world in these last days. That is the nature of our walk. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us God's provision. He has to teach us his word. We don't know it otherwise. We think we do. Religion thinks they know the word of God. But they sadly don't. Because they don't know the unity, the oneness. They don't know that they partake in God's divine nature. And when you partake of him, you partake of his word. And that is why it takes the Spirit to teach us his word and to experience that word. Well, that is the first thing. The second thing. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to change our confession. We say, well, I can't afford that. Or I'm going down with the flu. I need to be very, very careful because I could catch this coronavirus and so on. We need to listen to what comes out of our mouth. And the only way you are going to hear what comes out of your mouth is when you ask God to make you sensitive, open. What doesn't line up and agree with your word that comes out of my mouth, Father, halt me, stop me, enable me to change this. And you know what, again, if you believe that you are part of him and he's a part of you, then he's going to stop that confession coming out of you because he in you is not agreeing with it. That is why you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So it is very important because we can be snared by our words. And how the enemy tries to trap us and snare us by our words. Because he knows that the word of God says, as a man confesses, so is he. And the Christian faith is all about confession. And you can read as many books as you want on positive confession. And yes, I encourage you to read the book that Brother Freeman wrote. It's one of the most challenging, but it won't do anything. It will not change unless you know that you are a partaker of God's divine nature and that you bring these things out in the light. You share, you agree, you talk. I think all of us have to be honest and say, Lord, I am not always confessing the right thing as I should. And you are not agreeing with this. You cannot bless what comes out of my mouth sometimes, because what comes out of my mouth is just what the world talks about. They say the same. How will they ever know we have been with Jesus? That we are born again, spirit-filled believers. How will they know? They will know by what comes out of our mouth. And the only way that that changes is that you stay before God and you believe that he will harmonize your confession, your heart, with his word. Well, the third area in dealing with this, the reason we may be struggling in these areas is because we see so much of it that we think has gone wrong. So then the question is, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the giants of the land, which the elders, when they came back, was their report. They said, yes, the land is full of milk and honey. The land is a good land. There's just a problem. There's giants. Because that's what they saw. That's what played on their minds. That's what they were confessing. But Joshua and Caleb were not confessing that because they were of another spirit. They were joined. They were one with Almighty God. They had got a new nature, a new heart. And whatever they saw, they knew they couldn't confess that, because being one with God, that is not what God confesses. Do you want to know what God confesses? Read the Word of God. Read the promises. That is why I keep saying to you, faith comes by hearing the word of God. But they're the reasons why we struggle still in these areas and why it can go wrong. What are we looking at? What are we going to be looking at with this coronavirus that's going around the world? What are we going to be looking at? That is the question, and that is where you have to be honest. We need to look to what the Word of God says. Do you know one of the biggest things that's going to come out of this is debt, money. We will see debts on humongous levels. We will see people having breakdowns, mental oppressions, suicides from what is happening and will happen. What are we going to look at? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Is your job in jeopardy? Look to the Lord. You are one with him. God says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. These are dire times. We're rapidly moving towards the day of the Lord and his coming. This is a time now, brothers and sisters, where we can begin to act our faith. all that you have been taught over the years now can start to be fulfilled in your life and my life. And you watch, God will not forsake you. He will not leave you. It might look as though he has. It may look as though all you can see in the land of promise is giants. But don't confess it. Don't confess it. You can't confess it because you're one with God and he's one with you. And the Holy Spirit will not let you have rest until you confess what he is confessing. Well, fourthly, we have to be very careful when we're one with him that we don't become sort of religious and pious and just sort of say, well, praise God, I just got through by the skin of my teeth. Or I just made it. Or whatever. It may look like that. Very often it is. When bills need to be paid, often it goes over the date. But God will provide. He will provide. Don't even get surprised by that. Because all of God's provision is shared with us. And he will move every mountain and every obstacle when we believe him, trust him and obey him. He will and he does. He will not allow any hindrance, any demon. When you are trusting him and looking to him and you've done everything you know to do and you know that you're one with him, he'll move every obstacle. Mark my words, he will. Do you know why? Because it's always about his name, his glory. He is going to glorify himself through the sons of God as the bride makes herself ready. He's going to do it. Fifthly, our circumstances should make no difference to God's provision. What is your circumstances? What is your circumstances today? Not so good. Don't have much of a future. Not sure what's going to happen next month. Not sure if we've got enough money to pay bills at the end of the month, whatever it is. God provides. You see, it's actually got nothing to do with this. You see, we've got to remember, there is a principle that works sometimes for a season. If the cup of water is bitter, why are you trying to change it and make it sweet? Sometimes God has to allow us to have bitter water to experience in the end the sweetness of the Lord. So don't try and change it. Don't try and change your circumstances. This is why I say, in whatever your situation, just let go. Let go. Because we're the hindrance. You are not going to be separated from God. He's not going to forsake you. He's there with you, right in the midst. You see, we want to work it out. We want to understand. And God will not let us understand. He won't let us work it out. He just wants to have that relationship, that oneness with you. And in time, then he will reveal when you're ready for it. Are you asking God? Are you inquiring of God because you don't understand and you're getting upset why he doesn't reveal and show you? Well, there's a good reason. You're not ready. That's why. So rest. You see, it's always in our weaknesses that we see God's provision. And it's called mountains. We, all of us in this room, including myself, we have mountains. I have them. And there are times when I get fed up with it. There are times when I feel I've had enough. They never seem to move. They never seem to go. And then you apologize. You come back. And Lord, it doesn't matter. I'm one with you. Whatever these mountains, they're no problem to you. And that peace comes back. And that assurance. And somehow those mountains then don't seem as big as they did when we were complaining and moaning and griping. It's so easy, brothers and sisters, to open the door to unbelief and that self-pity, and it removes God from the throne of our lives. Then there's no longer blessings, no longer being blessed as you should be. That's why we have to guard unbelief, guard self-pity and those things that we can all be subject to, and how the enemy tries to suggest them to our minds, particularly when you're going through a trial. Well, why am I going through this trial? Why is it I always seem to go through this financial trial, and there's others in the assembly? It doesn't seem to be a problem to them. They're blessed, they do this, they do that, and here's me. It's nothing but struggling all the time, believing for the end of the month to pay this and that and so forth. Watch it, brothers and sisters. Oh, I talk from experience. We have to watch that. When I start thinking like that in my mind, I just say, Lord, bless my brother. Bless that sister. And it just starts to dissolve. It starts to go. Because I want to think right. I want to think positively. Because we're all in fellowship. We're all in unity and oneness. And my wrong attitudes can affect my brother or sister. And God forbid that that would ever happen. Because we're partakers of the divine nature of Almighty God, and that is certainly not to be found in him. Well, sixthly and finally, God will remove every prop from our lives until we see our true provision. And I go back years ago to that vision of that puppet, which most of you have heard, when I saw scissors cutting one string and another string. And suddenly the strings that were moving the hands, suddenly the hands just went limp to the side and cutting away. And I thought, well, if he cuts that last string, the whole puppet is going to crumple on the floor. And as the last string was cut, then that puppet became alive. And the movements of that puppet were no longer jolted, stunted, but became free and natural and moved with God. I will never forget that vision. And God interpreted that to me. He said, let go. All the while you hold onto things, unbelief, they are strings being pulled in your life. And what are those strings? They are control. And what is control? Witchcraft. And who works behind that? The enemy. Well, as we close, let's look at some psalms. Let's look at Psalm 87. Psalm 87. And verse 7. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, and my springs are in you. All my springs are in you. In other words, my life, everything is to be found in you and you alone. Nothing else exists. Nothing else matters. You are life. And your life lives in me. That's what it means. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 22. Whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Here you are. Look what you are a partaker of. Look what you are one with, that he has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul, Apollos, these were great early teachers in the church. Cephas, the world, life, death. Things that are present, things that are come, all are yours. There's nothing withheld. God has not withheld any jot or tittle from the promises of his word. They are all yours in Christ Jesus. And it is the enemy that stops us from inheriting these and being blessed by these. That's all it is, but stay with it, because God is cutting away those strings as we let go. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And so it goes on. There you are. That's what the Apostle Paul was believing and teaching for them. Equipped, whole, you have it all. You have need of nothing. That is the abundant life. When you come to that place, you have need of nothing. Because you are so one with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's one with you. But that is the main need. That is what we need in our lives. And so many professing Christians don't really see that one. And sadly, they're not taught it behind the pulpit. But you are. We are. So how much more is God requiring, wanting from us in FGA? And all things are possible, as he says, to them that believe. I know sometimes these teachings can almost blow your mind. They can almost seem as though this is so far-fetched. This is so way off the scale. It's just way beyond me. Well, that is how God reveals himself. And that is how he shows that he can work through each of us. Whatever our situation, whatever our weaknesses. And we have many. They are no problem to God, because he's made himself one with us. Remember, he took the initiative. He did it first. He has made no mistake over you or I. You can be well assured. So there we are, brothers and sisters. We are partakers of the divine nature. I trust that it has spoken to you, you've been blessed. I know it certainly did to me. And I think that is the Father's love to us. It's very appropriate, particularly at this time, with what we're seeing around the world, globally, and so on. But we will see something come from this. And we will see the mighty hand of God. Just give it time. And God has a way of turning it all around for His glory.
With all my heart.